With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Fear and discipline. But once they get over the fear part, then the discipline part comes in and they just don't have it. So that's a very hard part and a very crucial part of being an entrepreneur, especially when you're side hustling, especially because you have to have time management. You have to wake up early. You have to get things done all day. Sometimes you can't go where you want to go and do what you want to do and spend money on things you want to spend it on because you know that you have this business that you're trying to grow. So it takes a lot of discipline. And I commend anybody that's doing it as well. It's not the easiest thing in the world, especially when you have these, you know, huge ideas and you're at your desk.
Yo, this is Sum Total. You are now listening to Minorities in Business with Edwin Serrano.
What's going on, everybody? You're now listening to Minorities in Business. I'm your host, Edwin Serrano. Minorities in Business is a show dedicated to shedding a light on today's top entrepreneurs, creatives, and industry leaders within the minority community as they share tips and resources to help sustain and grow minority businesses. Thank you for everyone for the feedback, the shares, and the downloads. Make sure to subscribe and leave a rating on iTunes so we can reach more people like you. Also, if you don't follow us already on Instagram, you can do so on Minorities in B-I-Z. POD, Minorities in Biz Pod. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking to Nina Elaine. Nina is a digital strategist, content creator, and wellness and holistic lifestyle influencer. She specializes in helping micro-influencers, small businesses, and bloggers monetize their influence. Her goal is to create a community of mindful and empowered women that achieve their wildest dreams. Through her personal journey of self-discovery, she realized that she is here to teach and create leaders, and she is here to share her story with us. So what's going on, Nina? Welcome to the show.
What's up? Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on. And where are you based out of? Because I've interviewed a few people. They've been all scattered around. So yeah. If you want to share where you're calling, where we're talking from, where you're talking from.
So I am from the beautiful ATL in the South. I'm not originally from here, but I do love it here. So yeah, ATL.
Awesome. And I gave you the intro, but how do you introduce yourself when you're meeting people these days?
So it varies, but usually it's sort of kind of like what you said. So I'll say, you know, I'm a content creator, digital strategist, and I also do mindfulness and holistic living coaching as well. So it any variation of that comes out, but all of those three things are kind of the core of what my business is built around. So I definitely hit all three things.
Nice. So for those that don't know you, let's start with your origin story before you got into entrepreneurship. So how did that start for you?
So before, I was not even really thinking about it. I would just do like beauty related things for fun and like do my own like skincare and stuff like that just for fun on the side. And people would ask me all the time, like, why don't you like do something with that? Why don't you get into that? Like, why don't you teach other people or my friends and family and other people would ask me questions about like different types of ways to eat better and to work out more and stuff like that, just like tips and tricks. So I was like, okay, one day just randomly, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and just, you know, start a YouTube channel. Like, why the heck not? Because everyone had been asking me for so long. So I decided to start it. And that's kind of like where my start into entrepreneurship came. Just venturing out and doing something that I never really thought I could, I guess, at the time. And so then I started networking and meeting more people, and then I decided to move, and that's what really kind of boosted it for me, because I got to Atlanta, which is like full of entrepreneurs, right? Full of like women entrepreneurs, especially Black women entrepreneurs. So this is like the place to be for that type of thing. And yeah, I've just been meeting so many people. And I've been at it for a couple years now, but I literally every day I'm just learning something new. So it kind of started just me on a whim was like, hey, I'm just going to put myself out there. And it kind of turned into like a whole entire thing. So I'm grateful to have the platform that I do to be able to speak to the people that I'm able to touch. People of all different races and, you know, creeds and genders and stuff like that. But definitely love that I'm able to speak to people like me, that look like me, that feel the things that I feel as well. So I think that's an amazing thing.
And you said you moved to Atlanta. Where did you move from?
I moved from Chicago. So another great city, but too cold for me. Another really great city. Love Chicago, but too cold for me.
You did mention there's a lot of Black female entrepreneurs in Atlanta. I did interview Coriel DeBose, who's also in Atlanta. She's a serial entrepreneur, author, and speaker. So another fellow Atlanta woman doing her thing. Your passion for digital marketing comes from your background in economics and corporate data analytics. What is that background? And how does...
So I graduated from Northern Illinois University in DeKalb, Illinois. So I got my degree in economics. It was something, I actually started off with business, and I decided halfway through that, like, I kind of like this stuff a little bit more. Yeah. So I switched it halfway through. Luckily, they were so similar. I had already taken most of my courses. Mm-hmm. I decided to, from then on, go to work for companies like Millward Brown, who is also in Atlanta, but I worked for them in Chicago, doing their data analytics. So that's kind of where the corporate side came in. And I'm not with them anymore. I'm with another company. I do both. I have my business on the side and I still work as well. So I like the security of it.
Absolutely.
And I did take the leap when I first moved, but I like the security of it right now because of all the things that I'm trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Corporate data analytics is amazing. I think that it's a field that you can learn so much in, and those type of skills you can use in your business, which is what I did and what I've done, is to use everything that I've learned in helping these multi-million dollar companies, you know, make sure their marketing strategies are actually working and producing. And if they're not, then figuring out what it is that they need to do in order to have them produce. And that directly correlates with what I do with my business as well. So I think that it kind of is like a perfect marriage is how I think of it.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was just something that I just was naturally good at. And it's funny because I was never good at math when I was little, but it's not too much math. It's more theory and statistics. It's interesting. I'll say that much. I don't want to bore people, but for me, it's interesting because I can see the direct correlation with one change in a strategy in a campaign that can completely turn around something that was thinking. So that's directly related to what I'm doing.
Okay. You said you started with business and you switched to economics. I started with engineering. I switched to business, and then it was like kind of like similar classes. You don't have to like retake everything.
Yeah.
So that was cool. And a lot of people have like want to have a side hustle while they're working, but then they're afraid, like they don't. You know, what was it? How was it for you to, you know, actually start the side hustle without giving into fear?
So I think I don't know if this is something that would apply to everyone, because I actually took the leap before I started side hustling. So I took the full complete leap beforehand. Mm. And most people kind of like do the side hustle first and then the leap.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure like how many people can actually relate to this part. I'm sure there are some. But I took the leap first, and I'm so glad that I did. I'll say this much. I've never been the type to be scared of change. I know a lot of people are, and that's kind of why I love the platform that I have. But I'm the type to bring it on, like to say bring it on. So I literally just jumped and went into it and fell headfirst a couple times. You know, it happens, but I got right back up. So for me, it was never really like, oh, I'm so scared to do it. It was more about, do you have the discipline to do it? And I think that's where most people lack, fear and discipline. But once they get over the fear part, then the discipline part comes in and they just don't have it. So that's a very hard part and a very crucial part of being an entrepreneur, especially when you're side hustling, especially because you have to have time management. You have to wake up early. You have to get things done all day. Sometimes you can't go where you want to go and do what you want to do and spend money on things you want to spend it on because you know that you have this business that you're trying to grow. So it takes a lot of discipline. And I commend anybody that's doing it as well. It's not the easiest thing in the world, especially when you have these, you know, huge ideas and you're at your desk and you're like, damn, I can't go anywhere. Like, I can't do anything right now because I'm at my desk. But that is, I think
That's so
that
funny.
is, I think side hustling is something that everyone should do.
Yeah.
Everyone should do at least one time in their life, because it really teaches you patience and it really teaches you determination and all these things that you need. Like, you have to continue on and build your reputation at work where you're at, and continue on with all your free time and dedicate it and devote it to what you really want, seeing the bigger picture, not being there yet, but seeing it and knowing that that is where you want to be regardless of where you are right now. So I commend anybody doing it. It's tough. It's tough.
What's one of those? Well, you reminded me of myself today. I was at work, you know, usually it's a slow day, and out of all days, you know, it's slam. And then I gotta tell you, I'm running a little bit late. But what are one of those early failures that you can recall that somebody can learn from?
There were a lot. Early failures is taking the leap before I was personally ready. And I know that this can be conflicting and sound conflicting, so I want to explain it. Because there is no perfect time, right? Like, we all know that as entrepreneurs, we know there's no such thing as a perfect time. But for me personally, I didn't have all my ducks in a row before I jumped, in the sense that mentally I wasn't ready. And I mean, I had to get ready really quick, but mentally at the time I was not ready. I had that naivete that I think all entrepreneurs kind of have to have, where you're like, okay, you don't really realize how hard it is until you're in it. So at the time, like, oh, this will be easy, I'll just do this. And no, it was not easy. And I completely failed. So I don't know if you want like a specific thing or just in general, but yeah, I was not mentally prepared. And I think that's like the biggest part overall. Like, finances don't, like, they matter, but that's not the main thing. It's
right.
Mentally is where you need to be. And mentally,
absolutely,
I was not there, regardless of finances. Like, mentally, I was not there and not ready. And that's a sobering and very humbling experience for a lot of people and a lot of entrepreneurs. And just because someone has, quote unquote, made it, that doesn't mean that they can't lose everything. So I would never, you know, I would never look down on someone that tried and failed and that did it and it didn't work out, because just as that happened, you can also make it, and someone that's made it can also lose everything. So it's a constant journey, and it's not a one-stop thing. There's not just a destination. And that's the biggest thing to get over in your own head. Once I got over that it's not a destination, it's a journey. That's when things started to work out for me. That's when things started to flow for me.
Absolutely. You gotta fall in love with the journey. And
yeah.
They say it's harder to keep it than to get it.
As an
entrepreneur, similar, like piggybacking off of that, it tends to be lonely at the start. Where do you find like-minded women or fellow entrepreneurs to connect and share experiences with?
Where do I find them?
Yeah.
Lots of places. One thing that I love about social media is that you can literally meet anyone from anywhere in the world. So I do love social media for that. Of course, there are things that are not so great about it, but that is with anything in life. So social media, for one, huge, huge way for me to network. Networking events in person, of course, those are also my favorite, actually, because it's something about being in a high touch environment, which means that like right now we're interviewing through the phone, which is great. But if we were in person, we'd be able to feel each other's energy a lot more.
Absolutely.
We'd be able to vibe a lot easier.
Yep.
So there's something about in person that can never be replicated, no matter what technology, you know, comes up with. So actual networking events, and you can get those through Eventbrite or meetup.com for people that are watching or listening. If you don't know really how to do that. But those are my two favorite. I mean, I strike up conversations with people everywhere. Honestly, it really doesn't matter. It could be the grocery store and we end up talking. I've had legit like 30-minute conversations with strangers in the grocery store about business. And like, that's just what happens. That's just what happens. I guess I look approachable or friendly or something. But that's just what happens. And I've made some really good contacts and good friends like through this, just through all these methods. Honestly, it's being yourself, being approachable, and being open. You have to be open to meet people. You can't be closed off. You cannot be a closed off entrepreneur. It's impossible. Like, you're not going to make it if you're closed off. You have to be open to try new things, to meet new people. So yeah.
So you have a few YouTube series. You have the success series. You have the goal settings series. You have one more. Is it holistic living?
Yes.
Living. So I wanted to ask some questions off of that. One of the videos, how to survive life out of college.
Oh man, that's an old one. That's an old one. That was one of the first videos I ever made,
Oh, really?
actually. Yeah.
Well, that's still relevant to everyone. I mean, I just graduated college last December, so
Okay, congratulations.
thank you, thank you. So I'm sure a lot of listeners could use some tips off of that. So what are some standouts you have from that video or anything that's recent that wasn't in that?
I actually have not watched that video since like the year that I made it. I think I made that in like 2016. I mean,
Oh,
at that point, I had been out of college for 2 years. Not trying to, date myself way too much,
wow.
but I had been out of college for a couple of years at that point. But I think for people that are recent graduates, like yourself, I think the biggest things are things that you can directly apply to entrepreneurship. Even if you're not an entrepreneur, you can still do them. But now that I'm thinking about what I was talking about in that video,
Yeah.
like staying active, you have to stay active. That's just in general, right, for good health. And of course, as an entrepreneur, you have to stay active. You have to have your body moving. You have to, like, I come up with great ideas when I'm working out, honestly. But it's better in other ways as well. But you have to stay active. You have to read books. You have to read books. You have to continuously learn because it's so easy to just fall off of that path. Like, I have heard people say that they haven't read a book since college. And that to me is insane. Is insane. I've read more books after college than I've read in my entire school, like history, my entire school career. And for people to say that they haven't read a book since
That's
college is
college.
like mind blowing to me. And then I look at where, what they're doing and where they're at, and it makes a lot more sense. Like, okay, I can almost tell that you don't read, that you're not reading. Not trying to be judgmental, but like you can almost tell, like when
Right.
someone, like they're watching TV all day, like
Patterns
I
of
can tell,
behavior.
like
Yeah.
you don't even have time to read because you're watching TV so much.
Right.
So it's things like that. Make sure you're reading, make sure you're working out, make sure you're eating right. That's super important. And that, of course, goes with working out. Super important. You cannot, if you don't have your health, you have nothing, honestly, nothing, entrepreneur or not. And connecting with people, like we were talking about, is another thing. You don't want to isolate yourself. Like, it can get very easy to fall into depression and things like that when you're an adult because it sucks and it's hard and we all, have to go through it, but you're not alone. So reaching out to other people, finding a community of whatever it is that you enjoy to do, there's someone else out there that enjoys to do it as well, as long as it's not harming you or other people. So I think those are like the top few things. Honestly, I don't remember what I said during that time, but just from now with more years under my belt, that's what I can think of. Those are super important. And when you have all those things in line, I think you're setting yourself up for success. You're setting yourself up to do things, to go far.
One thing as I remember was you was talking about not being afraid to like quit a job. Like if you're at a job and you don't like it, don't just sit in there just because you're already there. And like don't be afraid to quit. Even before watching that video, I've always had that same mindset. Well, like if you're not feeling it, you don't just sit there to collect the check because we're here to make a difference. And another one was you said something about like your peers, like a lot of your friends was probably still be in school.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Cool. Like make sure you gather around friends that are also in the workforce. They're not gonna have the same schedule. So those are a couple of takeaways. And then talking about books, you do have a virtual book club community.
Do.
Mindful Money Mavens Book Club.
Yes.
Which the book of June is You Are a Badass by
Yes.
Jen Sincero. So
I
tell
get
us
so
about
many
your book
questions. I've gotten a lot of questions about that book. Like, I
club.
posted a couple of things from it a few weeks ago when I was reading it, and people kept asking me, like DMing me, like, what book is this? What book is this? What book is this? And I was under the impression that like everybody had read this book because it's such a popular book. And all these people, and not just now, but like over time, like I always post books or podcast excerpts or things like that on my social media. So I always get questions about them. What am I reading? What am I reading? So I was like, okay, let me just poll my audience and see if they would be interested in that. And a lot of people were. So I went ahead and just started it. And we just started reading together. Like, I've already read it, but reading it together. And I just think that if you see a need for something, you should fill the need. You may not have all the resources today. Most people don't. You may not have the full, complete, like amazing, detailed picture like you will have 5 years from now. That's okay. Get started. Build as you go. Work on it as you go. And, you know, do the best that you can with what you have. And that's kind of like my motto, honestly, with life. Do the best that you can with what you have, because no one that, if you could think of your favorite anything, your favorite musician, your favorite YouTuber, your favorite author, all these people started from the bottom, like started from scratch. Mm-hmm. Like they started from, you know, putting their cell phone up on a pile of books. They started from singing, you know, at their, you know, choir rehearsal. They started from things like that. So yep. Don't feel so much pressure to be perfect. Like the internet will show you, you know, the finished product, but they will never show you all the work behind the scenes.
Right.
So just don't be so, people are so hard on themselves. And like, I get it because I was there and sometimes I still can be, mm-hmm. but then I have to remember my motto, like where you're at right now is where you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Work on where you're at, perfect where you're at.
Right.
And that's the only way you're going to get to the next level. You can't get to the next level if you don't perfect where you're at. So that's kind of like, yeah, my motto. So my nice. Life motto right now.
Yeah. That's, I tell myself like, you're only as good as your last at bat. Gary Vee says that too.
Yeah.
And what you said about filling the void, That reminds me of when you asked me, we was talking on the phone yesterday, like if I listen to Entrepreneurs on Fire.
Yes.
And it's similar to the creation of this podcast where I saw the void, where there wasn't a lot of, the number one rated entrepreneurial podcast, but it's not really niched to minorities. So I saw the void there. I had podcasts before, so that podcast experience, so I just wanted to fill the void. And then Minorities in Business was created. So this is my 2 cents of trying to fill in the void. And I definitely agree with, like, you're only as good as your last at bat. So you also do like in-depth profile evaluations and you work with clients. What are some of the like early mistakes you see when you're coaching your clients?
Oh my gosh. A lot. I want to say the main overarching thing that I see, like just across everyone that I've worked with, is a lack of clarity. Because that is, I think that is the hardest part of it all. Once you have clarity, that's when you can start building. Like the clarity to me is the foundation. If you don't have a foundation, you cannot build a house, you know? So if you don't have that clarity, if you don't know what the heck you're doing and where you're going, you're never going to get there and you're never going to do it. So that's the biggest hurdle that most people have, especially with in life in general, right? But especially with their business. If we don't know who you are and what you do, and if you're not clear on it, we can't be clear on it. Your mm-hmm. audience won't know. If you don't know what you do, I'm not going to know what you do. You have to tell me what you do. So if you don't know, I can't know.
Right.
And that's where all the confusion comes from. And people are frustrated. Like, why can't I get clients? Why am I not getting any attention or whatever it is that I'm looking for? Like, look, you don't even know what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out what you want first.
Right.
And then you can work on the other part of it. But you have to figure out what you want first. So that's the biggest thing that I have seen. And for me, that was my biggest hurdle. Figuring out the clarity part of it was the biggest hurdle for me. So I totally understand. And that's why I'm so passionate about what I'm doing, because I know the difference that it made in my business. Just being able to say, yes, I'm a content creator, I'm a digital strategist, and I'm a holistic and wellness lifestyle influencer. Those type of things, like if I ask, which is usually what I do in my consultations, the first thing I'll ask them is what they do. No one can give me a solid answer.
Mm-hmm.
No one. Well, I like that. And I kind of like this too. And I like that. Like, I get it. We're
like
multifaceted.
Yeah.
We're multifaceted people. We have a lot of, you know, talents. I have tons more talents that most people don't know about. But that's not, you can't focus on 20 things.
Like, right.
You're going to drive yourself insane. Like,
yeah.
Even if you had no job, you wouldn't have the time.
Mm-hmm.
So focus on the top three things. Usually what I tell people, the top three things that you're most called to, that you feel like is your purpose, because there's a difference between passion and purpose,
mm-hmm.
but that you feel that you're called to do, those top three things. Once you figure them out and once you decide I'm going to live in them, that's when the change comes. But if you continue focusing like, well, I'm good at that too. Well, I'm great at that too. Like, okay, we get it, but no one cares.
Right.
Figure out your top three that you can focus on, because if you can't focus on them, your attention is going to be everywhere. And everyone's going to see it.
I can focus on you.
No one's going to be able to focus on you because you're unfocused. So that's the biggest thing that I have noticed so far.
And when you, so you're managing clients, you have your influencing, you're an influencer, you're on YouTube, you're doing all this stuff, you're going to events. When you find yourself overwhelmed or unfocused, what do you do?
Meditate. That's the very first thing that I do, honestly. And that's why it's such a big part of my brand, because it's one of the biggest things that has changed my life. Just getting to know myself and my higher self. So meditating is one of the first things that I will do. I will find a quiet space if I can. If not, I'm at the point where I've been doing it so long, I can do it pretty much anywhere. And that's the misconception that people have about meditation, is that you have to be sitting with legs crossed, you know, oming, which you don't have to do. Right. You can do it anywhere. You can do it washing dishes. You can do it at your desk. You can do it anywhere. It's a state of mind, right? It's being aware. So that is, for me, the biggest thing. Other than that, I will do something physical, because fitness is a huge part of my life. And it's not something that I showcase a lot anymore. My social media, I used to, but then I started getting, are you a fitness influencer? Mm-hmm. Questions. So I said, okay, no, that's not what I want to do. I just like it, you know, but that's where the clarity came in. But that's something else I will do. I'll work out. I love being in nature. Just being outside and fresh air is amazing to me. It just changes my whole mood. So working out, meditating, those are probably my top two. Honestly, reading would be my third. Those are the things that I do if I'm just feeling overwhelmed. Like, I'll take a break from everything else. I'll take a break from social media. I'll take a break from working, from everything, and do one of those three things, or all of those three things.
Right, right. I would have to agree on those too. Definitely. I've just started meditating. It's been hard for me to, you know, put it, like, keep it in the routine, but I've been, like, trying to, like, do yoga and meditate at the same time. That's, like, kind of been working. So, like, I'm rocking with that right now.
It takes time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not easy. When you, what was I going to ask? There it is. In the last 5 years, what have you become better at saying no to?
Everything. Literally anything that doesn't serve me. Like, when you get so focused on what you want to do and where you're going, and you can see that clearly, anything that's not a part of that is immediately cut out. I have no problem saying no to an invite out. I have no problem saying no to anything that I'm not comfortable with. I have no problem saying no to any of that. And a lot of times people will say yes, or, you know, say yes to something that they don't want because they don't have either the confidence or the will or whatever. But I think that's where my meditation and things like that, my affirmations come in, because if you don't feel confident in yourself and someone's like, you know, hey, can you do this for me? And you don't have the time, or you don't have the money, and you still say yes, like, you don't have the confidence to tell them no, like, I can't afford it, I don't have time, or I just don't want to.
Yep.
Like, you don't have to make an excuse. If you just don't want to, you can say you just don't want to, honestly. So I have no problem with saying no. Like, I don't really go out or anything like that anymore. But there was a period of time where I took a month or two break from everything, including social media, just to really get my year organized in my head, because I'm more of a big picture planner. So for a couple months, I was getting invited out left and right. And I was like, nope, I'm not doing any of this. None of this. And eventually, guess what? They stopped asking me. Look at that. They stopped asking me, which is what I want.
She's not coming anyway.
She's not playing. She's really not going to come. Like, she's not kidding. So you just have to be very clear on your intentions. Why is it that you're saying no? If it's because you don't want to, then it's because you don't want to. If it's because you can't afford it, then say it's because you can't afford it. Like, you don't have to make up excuses and lie. Like, I'll make them feel bad. Look, if they are meant to be in your life or meant to be, you know, around you, they will understand. Like, if you just don't want to, you're a person. You have the right to say you don't want to. Yep. If they can't respect that, then they don't need to be in your life. If you can't afford it, everyone should be able to understand that. Like, okay, you can't afford it. Cool. Like, we make up all these excuses in our heads. We'll make them feel bad. Like, no, this is in your head. Like, I have to talk. Like, I talked my mom out of something like that the other day, literally. She was like, oh my God, if I say no, then they'll feel bad. And I was like, Mom, like, listen, you have no obligation to anyone to do anything. You are your own person. And she said it went fine. Literally. She's like, I don't know why I was so worried. It was fine.
That's usually how it goes. And at the end of the day, it's back to being, you know, having that clarity of what is it that you want, having the bigger picture, you knowing the bigger picture. So is this going to benefit the bigger picture, or is this going to deter me from the path? So the clarity is like the bottom line when it comes to that. So this is Minorities in Business. I do ask this to every guest. So what does being a minority mean to you?
That's an interesting question. So to me, you know what? I'll have to give you some background on this.
Okay.
And here's why. So I grew up in a very multicultural neighborhood. So the whole neighborhood was minorities. You know, everyone was a minority.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was an immigrant, either from Europe or Asia or Africa, wherever. Everyone was an immigrant. Mm-hmm. So my experience was a little bit different than some.
Right.
I don't have any, you know, direct, none of my family is from this country. So I don't have any like direct, direct descendants that were like slaves in America. I'm sure somewhere at some point they were somewhere else, but
where's your family from?
Jamaica.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of a different experience. Not saying that of course there was slavery there as well, but, relating to Black people, like that are Black Americans, which is what we call them. It's a little different because some of them have a different point of view than I did, especially growing up around predominantly Black people, and I didn't. So for me, I was used to every culture. I was used to hearing people speak in their language and not like thinking they're talking about me or things like that. So like I was used to their food, their culture, celebrating their holidays, stuff like that. Like it was not weird to me. So for me, I never felt like a minority. And then, you know, being in Atlanta, I definitely don't feel like a minority in that way. And I've never honestly, I've never had any experience where I felt like this is happening because I'm a minority. I've never really had that, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that it didn't happen. It could have happened.
Right.
I just didn't notice,
right.
But
right.
Maybe because of my background. So for me, it's a little bit different. But I do feel like being Black, I don't want to even use the word minority because I don't feel like a minority, but being Black to me means it's like, I feel so much pride in being Black because we're so diverse. We're so multicultural, like, there's so much beauty in our entire race. So I can't really answer that question for you. And it's probably weird. You probably never got this before, I don't feel like a minority. I've never felt like a minority. I've always felt like I had community around me and I was not like, you know, I was not like isolated. The only times that I would say I was isolated or felt a little isolated is maybe I was the only Black person in like my AP English class or something like that.
Right.
But there would be brown people, there would be Asian people, there would be, you know, the other colors as well. So I don't know.
Right.
I don't really know how to answer this, but I do have a lot of pride in being Black and I love our people and our culture and what we do and what we're doing and Black women especially. We're killing it right now. We're killing the game. Killing the game.
You keep killing it too. No, that was a good answer. That was a good answer. And I can relate because I grew up in the Bronx. I grew up in New York. So it was very multicultural as well. You know, you had the Albanians, you had the Jamaicans. I'm Dominican. My family's Dominican. So it was like all across the board coming from New York. And then I moved to Florida where you kind of like saw the contrast and started to see the difference. But I definitely respect where you're coming from, where you really can't really tell. And my mom would say a similar answer. Has told me something like that, right? Like she grew up in New York, like she was in New York basically all of her adult life. And it was like, I really can't tell a difference. So it really depends on your experience. It's not really a bad answer. It's pretty much how it worked out for you.
Yeah.
So that was a good answer. So anything else you want to leave for the people of Minorities in Business? I know you have your Instagram live every Thursday.
Yeah.
You want to plug that in or plug anything else?
Yeah, I can throw that in there. I'm just as like a final finishing note. Just if you're, you know, on the grind, you know, hustling and everything, like just remember that all the greats have done it. Everyone that you look up to has done it, like for the most part. A few people have, you know, had some money to start off with. Like I've heard people talk about Gary Vee, like, oh, his dad had money, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, you can have money and lose it.
Absolutely.
If you don't know what to do with it. So honestly, to me, that's invalid. Like that's an invalid argument because he knew what to do with that money. And yes, there's always going to be somebody that grew up a little better, had a little bit of a better situation. But at the end of the day, you need to make it work for you because there's somebody that is in your position or worse and has made it. So someone's always grinding when you're sleeping. Someone's always working when you're not. So just focus on what you're doing, not what they're doing. Cause that's the only thing that's going to get you forward. So move you forward. So this is a little parting piece of advice. Then for me on Thursdays, like you said, I have at 9 p.m. on every Thursday on my Instagram, Be Nina Elaine. I have guests on that I also interview as well and talk to, and not just interview, but, you know, chat, like how we're chatting as well. So,
yeah.
It's always really fun. We always go to the hour mark, literally, where Instagram will cut you off. We always like, shave, like we always get right to the minute. Man. And I've gotten cut off like once or twice before. So it's been like that good. So yeah, just all of my social media is at The Nina Lane. You can find me on YouTube, on Instagram and Facebook primarily. And yeah, I look forward to connecting with you guys. I'm open, like I always have conversations. DM me, I always answer. It may not be the same day, but I always answer, and I always try to answer. So yeah, this was awesome. Like, thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. Everything will be on the show notes page. Also, her website is DaninaElaine.com. Everything will also be on the website, EdwinSorano.com/podcast, and on her Linktree link on her Instagram bio. This has been another great episode of Minorities in Business, where we inspire the minority to become the majority. I'm Edwin Serrano, and thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, thanks for listening to Minorities in Business. If you enjoyed the show, please make sure to subscribe on YouTube and on iTunes. You can also leave a comment on SoundCloud and everything else so we can reach more people like you. Again, thank you so much for listening. This has been another great episode of Minorities in Business.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.